This is Rod Peterson on demand. No.
How did this fly get in here?
Somebody got a fly swatter?
Yeehaw!
It was a shot of Prairie Jesus is really what it was.
It was.
You'd think we would be getting used to it, but we never get used to it. We never get tired of good things happening.
This life doesn't get
got it.
No.
Okay. It was a nice little distraction from the real world, and here we are today for a coffee session.
This is the Rod Peterson Show.
We're live. Hi, everybody. Yahoo. Welcome to the RP Show. How's it going, dupes?
It's going.
Could be better, hey?
Could be better.
Happy Thursday, everybody. Welcome to Canada's daytime sports talk show. We're coming to you from the sweatpants capital out here in Western Canada. And we are in the bunker. And dang it, I was thinking of this last night. Don't take this the wrong way, you guys. But I literally can't wait to get in here every day. When I was laying down to bed last night, I can't wait to see the guys tomorrow because we played ball last night. We had a great time. Then we get in here and we're all excited. We're like a bunch of kids. And guess what? Nothing's ready. Your audio's not working. I didn't share the video because we're too busy telling stories.
I know.
So at some point, should we get our technical producer, Ryan Baracco, out here to fix your audio? I don't think you have it turned on.
Yeah. I think the batteries are dead.
Don't! Guess I'm handling the Joey Alfieri interview myself. But it's a very exciting day. That's the other thing when I was laying my head down to sleep last night. I thought, what are we going to talk about tomorrow? I have no idea what to talk about. But I've learned after 335 shows, don't worry about it. Figure it out in the morning. And then I realized it's chaos in the National Hockey League. And we're going to get to that in our quick six show topics. But coming up on the program today, Joey Alfieri in mere moments from TSN 690 Montreal. There's a lot of news going down there. Our NHL insider, Rich Sutter, will be joining us. Columbus Blue Jackets pro scout. And he also from Sportsnet Flames TV. And from Fubo TV in New York City, Julie Stewart-Binks will be joining us to talk NFL. And I'm very excited for that chat. So that's good. I just heard the door to the cage open back here, the dog pound. Are you coming out or what? Ryan's grabbing some batteries. He might, like a little mouse, scurry across the floor, come around the back and fix your... Do you want it?
Yeah.
Of course you do.
Of course I do.
Of course you do. Okay. Let's get to the quick six show topics. Jordan, please. 24 hours to NHL free agent frenzy, period. Okay, there. Now you're going to throw him the batteries? Okay. So he's going to fix his headphones as we go. 24 hours to NHL free agency. And I'm telling you, this is like drinking from a fire hose, to be honest. I don't even know where to start.
I know.
Okay, I see TSN's going to air tomorrow at 9 a.m. Mountain. That's our time. We go to air at 10 a.m. Mountain on what will be a football Friday on Friday. So I don't know how we're going to morph football and hockey. But I'm just saying it's madness in the NHL. And I will thank the Score, who has the best app in sports. I'm on it every day. They just sent an article down this morning. Top five teams to be active in NHL free agency. And off the top of my head, they were Vegas. I think Vegas was number one. The Winnipeg Jets, the Colorado Avalanche. And I can't remember the other two. Did anybody else see that? Anyways, it was a good article. I realize that it's all poppycock and bunk because nobody really knows what's going on. But it gave me an idea. Who did you fix it?
I think so.
You're pretending... That is so smooth, what you're doing there.
Well, just, you know.
See if it works. Plug it in. One of these days, we'll get our spit together.
Do we have
power? I just want to ask you before I move on to point two, if you have a thought on NHL. It's working.
It's working.
Ta-da! Do you have a thought on NHL free agency?
It's going to be wild. And what the one thing I'm seeing on social media is a lot of optimism around the Ottawa Senators, which... It feels like that's
ages.
Never happened.
not since 1992.
Right. Yeah. So that's it. That's exciting. And that there's going to be a lot of movement. As we heard from Eddie Lack, the goaltending market's going to be wild. It's going to be very interesting. And I'll be watching.
I'll be watching, too. But again, we'll be on the air.
Yeah.
But we'll save a lot of the football stuff for tomorrow on a Football Friday and try and sprinkle in the hockey talk. Tom Geiger, one of our viewers, says free agency this year will be nuts. The list of buyouts is very long. Oh, that's the part that's kind of losing me. Hi, guys. It's chaos in here. Oh, brings me to point two.
We're only 5 minutes
We're only 5 minutes in. Chaos in the National Football League, and this is no laughing matter. I almost wore my Tennessee Titans hoodie today. I'm glad I didn't because you wore yours, and that would have been awkward. Two more positive tests with the Tennessee Titans. That actually morphs into point three. It's 23 in total now with the Tennessee Titans. And you've been doing far more work on this than me, far more reading. I'm going to have to ask you to make your thoughts on it quick because Joey Alfieri's coming in here in the warm-up in 5 minutes to talk about the Montreal Canadiens dealing Max Domi away and where the Habs are going. But hey, the Titans might have to forfeit their game this week, which nobody would be surprised by, but the Bills are their opponents, and the Bills wouldn't be paid, what I've been led to believe this morning, if the game's forfeited, so they don't want to forfeit the game. It's not an understatement to say chaos, or an overstatement to say chaos in the NFL right now.
Massive chaos. Massive chaos. And the one thing, Major League Baseball went through this, and Miami was the big one to start, right? 13 or 14 members of their team had it right away. But nobody had a problem when Tom Brady was running workouts in the offseason.
Nope.
And that was against doctor's orders, against NFLPA orders, and he still ran the workouts. Now nobody caught the virus, so we're all happy. And there has never been a game forfeited in the history of the National Football League. I don't expect it to happen today.
Really? Or this week?
I don't. I just don't expect it to happen. They'll find a way to get the game off. I mean, you imagine what that looks like if one team has to forfeit a game and how that might have implications on the whole season. I just don't see it. Then anytime, what's the standard, right, for outbreak or number of cases before a game has to be forfeited? How would you know?
Until now.
Right.
But here's the thing. I was on with Brian Snow this morning. Snowman in the Morning down in Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina. And we were talking about this. And he's just disgusted at the way the Titans have handled this. And I said, I get it. There's a lot of teams in the NFL that are mad that are saying, hey, 31 of us could get our act together. Why couldn't you? Right. And I get that. I admire the NFL to a certain extent that they're like, we're playing. Come hell or high water. But they're now realizing that not only can they fight a virus, no matter how much money they have, they can't fight government because they're the ones with the controls on all of this. They're the ones that are leaning on the NFL. You're going to do this or you're not playing. And the NFL may or may not win. Fun to watch, isn't it?
Very fun to watch. And what's the NFL going to do? Are they going to say, look, we got to pause the season or we got to just, take a team out for a year, but then all of a sudden your credibility of a league kind of goes out the window a little bit.
Joey's connected and ready to go. So real quickly through the rest of our quick six show topics here in the warm-up. Number four, NHL draft recap from the last 2 days. 28 Western Hockey League players selected. Not that many by my Vegas Golden Knights and not that many by your Toronto Maple Leafs. We'll talk about that a little later on. Our NHL insider, Rich Sutter, is going to be with us. Point five, it just dawned on me. How about an Astros-Dodgers World Series? Like they're kind of on a collision course to do it.
A little bit.
Our live studio audience agrees. I'm thinking, what the heck? They're up in their series. Let's see it.
Yeah.
Baseball needs it. And point six, it is CFL Sim game day tonight, Saskatchewan and Ottawa, 7 p.m. Mountain on this Facebook Live channel if you're watching on Facebook Live. Again, our CFL Esports League, it was voted Canada's Game of the Week, and we're all excited. We'll be in here tonight with a lot of pizza calling the game. Okay. I appreciate it. Let's go to Montreal right now. Joey Alfieri joining us from TSN 690 on short notice. Good morning, Joey. How you doing, my man?
Hey, good, Roddy. How are you?
Good, good. So, listen, Montreal kind of the epicenter the last couple of days in the NHL with the Domi trade and where they're going. But I just saw the interview this morning where Domi was asked about a bad relationship with the head coach of the Canadiens. And I'm Claude Julien. It was news to me. Have I been living under a rock? Yeah, what's the story?
Yeah, around here it's kind of been well documented, Roddy. I mean, it was clear that something had to give. Just the way the playoffs had gone, and Domi for the most part was centering the fourth line. With guys like there was guys in and out of the lineup with Jordan Wheel and Dale Weiss and company. Charles Hudon got a game and all that stuff. And it was clear that he wasn't happy, and it was just clear that he and Claude Julien weren't on the same page. So there was some people out here who thought that if Claude Julien was going to be back, that there was no chance that Max Domi would be back, and they were right. They were right. And but here's the thing: things change in a hurry, it seems like, in this market with the Canadians more than anybody else. Because, you know, at this time last year, we were just about to start the regular season, right? And Max Domi was coming off a 72-point year, 28 goals. And most people, myself included, thought of him as, you know, a guy who was untouchable. And then, you know, all of a sudden you have a second year that didn't go as well. And, you know, we know that Claude Julien likes his players to be, or his centermen anyway, to be all round and guys that can play, you know, well in the defensive end. And Max Domi just isn't that guy. You know, he's a guy who can create offense, but every once in a while there are going to be breakdowns. And for whatever reason, they weren't on the same page. And I think, but this trade fills a need for Columbus, fills a need for Montreal. And I think it makes sense for both sides.
It does, but I got to say this, in my time in Arizona around the Coyotes, Domi was very well thought of from what I could see. He was a potential franchise face there, yet you don't let those players go. And now he's going to his third team, so, and he's still a young guy. So where are you on the Domi thing, like as a player and his importance to a team?
Yeah, I think he's a good player, and he clearly, you know, wants to be a center. The Canadians came out and said that they see him as a centerman too. But I think if you look at the way the playoffs kind of unfolded, Suzuki and Kotkaniemi really took off, and they're both younger than Domi, and they both played really, really well. And then you have, you know, a guy who got Selke votes in Phil Deneau, who kind of played that third line defensive role. And, you know, even he was complaining at the end of the season about the role that they had given him in the playoffs. And he's a guy who put up 50 points this year. So I think their 1, 2, and 3 down the middle is finally set. And like I said before, they see Domi as a center. Domi made it clear that he prefers to play center. And I just think that they feel like they have three guys ahead of him on the depth chart. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't think Max Domi is a great player. I think Max Domi is a really good player. I think in the right environment, you know, he can be, I don't think he's a 70-point player, Roddy. I don't think he's a 40-point player either. I think he's somewhere in between. But I think if everything goes well and he stays healthy and he's playing with good players, I don't see why he couldn't be a guy who puts up between, you know, 55 and 65 points every year, centering your second line. And I think that's what Columbus is banking on. So I like Max Domi as a player. I still do. I saw what he's been capable of. But at the same time, you know, I think the Canadians fill a huge need by getting Josh Anderson, you know, a guy who scored 27 goals a couple years ago and a guy who's 6'3", 220. They don't have that outside of Yoel Armia. So the fact that they get to add a guy who can put the puck in the net, who has that kind of size, you know, I think it's a trade that Montreal probably had to make just because you have to roll the dice on this guy. Is there a risk? Yeah, absolutely. He hasn't played since December because of that shoulder issue. But I think, you know, just given the combination of size and skill, sometimes you got to take a chance. And so it doesn't mean I don't think Domi's a good player. I think he's a very good player, but it's a trade that makes sense all around.
Well, I hope it works out for both parties. And again, I'm a Max fan. So I was just a little shocked when I saw that interview where he didn't even want to talk about his relationship with Julien. Joey Alfieri with us from TSN 690. Our viewers would like me to ask you what you know about the Q being ravaged by COVID, or at least a couple of teams. Yeah. Is it getting much play in Montreal? What's the talk?
Yeah, for sure. Blainville, Boisbriand is one of the teams, and they're just 20 minutes north of Montreal, so they're very, very close. And then obviously Quebec Ramparts too. The last I saw, I think those teams they'd be missing 8 games, and I don't know if they're going to make them up. But I saw out of Ontario yesterday, they were talking about how, you know, if the O was going to play, they would have to kind of, they were thinking of making it, you know, body check free, which I don't even see how you can, you know, how that can happen. But the Q is in an interesting spot just because they've started already. And, you know, you've seen a lot of the top prospects who got selected over the last couple of days have already made an impact there, and they've been making some news. But yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of talk already. I mean, a couple of weeks ago it was about, stiffer penalties, and you know, now we're talking about COVID, and I don't know where they go from here. And I heard you guys talking about the NFL. You know, I don't know where they go either. And it's so uncertain, and we're in such a difficult time here. And the Q certainly doesn't have the same budget that the NHL or the NFL does. So yeah, I'm curious to see how they handle all of this, and I'm curious to see if it spreads out to more than just these two teams. You know, where do they go from here? Can they scrap the season? Do they put it on pause? I don't know. But definitely some interesting times ahead.
Oh, I know. We're just lucky to be working, you know, in the role that we're in, you know. And, hey, lastly, Producer Clark would like your thoughts on, are the Canadians in on Taylor Hall? Look, to me, Max Domi's Taylor Hall light. If you don't want Max, why would you want Taylor Hall, especially with the amount of money that he would want? But is there any talk of that out there?
Oh, are you kidding me? Of course there is. Yeah, look, I think the Canadians are... they're set, right? Like on the right side now, you look at Josh Anderson, you have Gallagher, Anderson, and Armia. And then down the middle, we talked about Dano, Suzuki, and Kotkaniemi. And then on the left side right now, it would look something like Tatar, Drouin, Byron, and Lehkonen. So I think their roster's set. I do think if Taylor Hall's open to coming here, I'm sure they would entertain that. But I think they would entertain it on a short-term deal only. I don't think they want to lock themselves into six or 7 years of Taylor Hall. And the reality is, I mean, people keep saying that the Canadians are in a great cap spot, and they are. They're not, you know, they're not tied up against it. They're almost at $11 million in cap space, but you have to sign Josh Anderson, and I'd like to believe that that's going to be north of, you know, $4 million a year. So you're down to five, six. And then I think it's going to cost more than that if you bring in a guy like Taylor Hall, even if it is on a short-term deal. So then who's on the way out? You know, is Thomas Tatar entering final year of his contract, the guy who ends up moving if Taylor Hall's brought in? Probably. But I think that they would be. I think they'd be interested in Taylor Hall if he was willing to come here, just because, you know, he's a couple years removed from a Hart Trophy season. He does put up the big numbers, and I do think that he would upgrade them on the left side. And we know the power play's been abysmal, and I think Hall could help in that capacity too. But I got to tell you, Roddy, I've seen this song and dance every June 24, 25, 26, leading up to free agency. You know, the Canadians are in on Tavares, the Canadians are in on Duchesne, and it never happened. So forgive me for being skeptical, but I think if he was willing to come, I certainly think the Canadians would pursue that if it was on a short-term deal.
It's going to be a fun Friday and into the weekend. Oh, yeah. Joey, thanks so much for joining us on short notice. This has been awesome. We got a lot of info from you. Appreciate it, and stay safe.
Absolutely. You guys too. Thanks for having me.
Joey Alfieri, TSN 690 Montreal, and holy bingo, bango, bongo, did we get a lot out of that?
Oh, yeah.
With Joey, I appreciate it. And the one thing that he said of the many things that were interesting, the one that stands out to me is the no body checking in the OHL. And that's got people commenting in here. It's our poll question today. Because you see, the OHL now was told by the health officials of the government that if you're playing OHL, there will not be body checking, no body contact. So our poll question for Capital Automall Universal Collision Center is this. Will you still watch major junior hockey if there's no body checking? Into the hundreds of votes since we put it up here an hour ago, 67% of people on Twitter saying no. 67% on Twitter saying no, but Facebook, way different.
57%, yeah, on Facebook saying, yeah,
saying
they
yes.
will watch.
It's the difference between, I think, the demographic of people on Twitter versus Facebook, I think. But some guy wrote in on Twitter at us, and he says, listen, the caveat to me voting no on that is I don't watch major junior hockey anyways. And I felt like saying, then would you please abstain from voting because your opinion really doesn't matter. But still, he was nice enough to vote in the poll. To me, you and I were kicking this around in the pregame meeting. They don't hit in junior hockey anyways. Not anymore.
You're right.
So it's a hard yes for me. A hard yes.
Yeah, here too. For sure. I think the hockey would be amazing. It would be, the only thing it would do is open up more space. And you're right, there's not a lot of hitting anyway in the game, so it wouldn't change that much.
It's not going to change. Let's just be real about it, okay? If that's what it's going to take to play, all in. Let's do it because you're really not hitting anyways. Let's just play. Julie Stewart-Binks from Manhattan next. We're just getting rolling on the warm-up today. It's our Thursday edition of Canada's Daytime Sports Talk Show. We'll return in a moment. You're watching across North America on Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
You got something to say? You want to add to the show? What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Hey, honey, can you get one of the kids to show me how this Twitter thing works? Honey, I need to get on Instagram. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
That's us. Welcome back, everybody. Coast to coast in over a million homes on Game Plus TV Network live today, just ahead of Julie Stewart-Binks. National emergency here in Canada in that The governments are asking our major junior leagues, if you're going to play, you can't have body contact. And the viewers are writing in, where is it? Gary in Winnipeg says, when we are back to normal, I'll be taking in as many Winnipeg Ice games as possible. What is normal? Just as soon as they get playing, go. Buy your tickets and go. Jeff in Calgary, he's the Stampeders fan. He says, what if the NHL implemented a no-contact policy? Let's not play the what-if game, okay? We're just talking major junior hockey right now. What's the point of talking about it with the NHL? The question is, would you go and watch if there was no contact in major junior? And the Twitter respondents are saying, no, they wouldn't. The Facebook respondents are saying, yes, they would. Figure that one out. So let's go to New York City right now, and our good and longtime friend Julie Stewart Banks joins us on video chat from Fubo TV. The recent award winner, by the way, JSB, congratulations. What's that all about?
Thank you. Yes, I know. What a random award no one has ever heard of before, and we are the winners of it. But in all seriousness, Call It a Night, which is one of the shows that I host currently, Dark right now, when we launched it, I was fortunate enough to be able to meet with Jim Bell, who's a former showrunner of The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. And he said, apply for as many awards as possible for a new show, because then that's just another way to be able to get your show out there, get the accolades for it, and then be able to have a product and a proof of concept when you are trying to market it to get more money and sponsors. So we listened to him and we applied for the Telly Awards, and we won for general sports, whatever that means.
Yeah, I love it.
She sits right here, and looks like a weapon. Proud of it because of, I know. it's again, like, I'm trying to figure out, you know, how do I do this like Stanley Cup? Like, can I drink out of this thing? No, but it feels like a real award. It's got a bit of weight to it. So I'm just gonna. I think I can hang him up now, Rod. I think this is it. This actually probably is the peak, and I'm just going to pretend that it's like a real Emmy. So
you could tape a solo cup in that in the arms of it. I think just put some duct tape around it and put a cup, and then you could.
It looks
what
like
do you
it,
got?
It looks like it could, you know, hang on the steering wheel, be like the club, prevent car theft.
Yeah, it does look like the club,
right? Yeah.
So yes. Listen, I saw you celebrating in the streets of Manhattan, and I had no idea what the award was. I just had to ask you about it and say congratulations. Now, Julie, we will get to NFL. The last time you were on, we promised that we would talk about it, and we never got around to it. But you are a native Torontonian. You're a Canadian and a proud Canadian. So how do you feel about the government saying to the O, the Q, and pretty soon I'm sure the dub, if you guys come back and play, we'll allow it, but you can't have body contact? What do you think when you hear that?
You know, I was actually pretty surprised to hear it, because I personally didn't feel as though at that level of play that was an issue. I understand at lower levels, younger players, that this can have such a direct impact on their brain growth and on just like their overall, their body growth and development as well. But because these are players that will eventually end up, for the most part, playing, whether it's in the NHL, whether it's in the AHL or in Europe, that is going to be a part of the game there. So I don't necessarily think that it is, I don't think that that's where we need to spend our attention right now. I think there's many more things on the checklist of keeping people safe within this country, within sports, that would warrant more attention than getting rid of body contact. That being said, we have seen tournaments, especially international tournaments, where there isn't a whole lot of checking. There aren't fights. The game can be played without it. I'm a bit more of the old school mentality of I do love fighting in the game, but I also understand that does come at a price, where we've seen so many players who have now retired be vocal about their brain health, about the addiction issues, the substance abuse issues, about a lot of really deep things that we can't possibly understand. So I'd have to do more research into just the correlation between some of these younger players, how this affects them in the long-term growth of just their health. If it is this like very, very serious health issue, by all means, I'm all for it. But I don't particularly think it is, if we are still allowing it in the professional leagues.
John in Kansas City says reducing body contact at the junior level will hold back the player's development and potential pro career. Bad idea. I'm going to take the non-popular stance on this and say, not playing at all, John, will be more detrimental. So my take is, if it's going to be no contact but you can play, then we'll take it and let's play. That's my take, and I'll be buying my tickets and I'll be going to watch. That's just me. Now, to the National Football League, Julie, you do a lot of coverage with that. It is chaos as we sit there today. Some teams ravaged by COVID. It seems to be spreading across the league. What's your take on where the league's at as we sit here today?
Well, it's, Rod, honestly, it's just this, it's every single minute of the day it changes. And I think that this is, we are just becoming sort of immune to the idea that this is the norm. Like, when you wake up and you look at your phone and you're just like, oh, who has COVID now? What does this mean for scheduling? What does this mean for, in a very lower sense on the totem pole, like competitive balance as we go forward? I just spoke with Steve Levy, who is the commentator play-by-play for Monday Night Football on ESPN. He's on my show this week, and he's like, honestly, you just sort of have to roll with the punches with this one, because we are living in a world where if we are going to try to play NFL without a bubble under these certain circumstances, understanding that players, people, personnel are going to break the rules, or maybe they aren't, because it's also a global pandemic and it's a virus that spreads so quickly, we are going to have to deal with this. And so in that regard, it's like, this is A plus B does equal C. Like, this is exactly what you're going to get under the conditions you're living in if this is how we're going to be playing football. That's why we didn't see this kind of stuff happen in the NBA bubble or the NHL bubble, because these were controlled environments. When you have all these different variables that can then that are holes that can be permeated by the virus, of course you're going to have these problems. So then now you have these players that have COVID, or maybe they've been around other teams, and then you're looking ahead, you know, just looking at ESPN's Diana Rossini tweeting about the fact that now the Titans and Bills, what are they going to be doing? Do they then move their game to Monday or Tuesday? How does then that affect the Bills hosting the Chiefs on Thursday night? Does that move to Saturday? And it's a whole just, you know, hootenanny of uncertainty. And even just hearing the league say, we've told the teams what the protocols are. Like, they know what they have to do. We've seen the Titans say, we told the players what they had to do. And then they go and hold an involuntary workout at a high school. And it's so ignorant, right? Because it's so, it hurts everyone else. This isn't just, oh, well, we have a couple of guys on our team who have it. We'll get by it. Let's go, you know, focus on the game. No, this is going to affect your team. And I think you should be penalized for it, because you have now completely, you know, you've blown past the stop signs of what everyone else in the entire world's trying to do to be able to have this league. And then now you've also affected other people. And that's the thing that everyone forgets, like in the same vein as Kirk Cousins saying, well, if I get it, I die. If I die, I die. It's like, if you get it, you could give it to other people. So then they might die. And then we just never, ever get rid of this thing that has been around for so long. And that's what we're trying to do. We just want to be able to get back to being able to do things as normal as possible. But at this rate, it's nowhere near that.
Julie, you're killing it. And I appreciate that. And I agree on a lot of those points. Darren does not, because he's a Titans fan. He's joking, of course. But hey, this is a Canadian show here. And Troy, by the way, writes in. Troy Rich. I hope I'm saying your name right, Troy. He says, are they only considering no contact in junior due to the COVID situation, or is it a more permanent / long-term decision? It's only for COVID, major, junior.
It was, okay, you know what, yeah. Rod? I actually didn't know that. I thought it was just in general.
No, it's for COVID. It's
okay, that's my answer is a bit different, yeah.
Really? Well, the OHL, what can I say, where you were raised, has said, will potentially allow you to play, but you guys need to consider no contact or it's a non-starter. So now the OHL, David Branch.
Like, the sport is very contact-oriented. Like, that's, you are going to be close to guys, like, whether or not you're given a hip check, like, you're going to be taking a face-off right in front of them. Like, there's ways that this can spread still, too, without contact.
Oh, I know.
Contact.
This is what we talk about up here every day, Julie. Nobody has this figured out. Chris just slid off the screen. Chris Bird in Toronto says, women's hockey has no contact. If they can do it, why can't the men? Hey, go to a local university hockey game in Canada, U Sports. They're not hitting either. Mm-hmm. That's my point. If this is what it's going to take to play, then let's play. And we won't have contact for as long as contact is an issue. But again, they're not hitting right. each other anyway. So, but we should tell people, you played women's hockey, right? I've seen it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I actually also play men's hockey as well, and I would say right. I'm not good at either of them, but I play. I am the person that is kind of tries to muck it up a bit. So my role on the ice would certainly be obsolete, but that's probably a good thing.
Steven in Prince Albert writes it, and he says full face shields could help. Well, you still need to breathe. Yeah. I don't know. I mean, Steven understands, but even full
face
shields.
Yeah, if you just put everyone in one of those, like, bubbles, and then sort of like a sumo, you know, one of those bubbles that you see at, like, you know, during the intermissions, and
exactly.
That
wouldn't
way.
That be great? Jeff, the Stamps fan, says the NFL is getting what they deserve. They should have followed the bubbles of NHL, NBA. I can't necessarily disagree. I think what people need to understand this morning, Julie, as we sit here and talk about this, and my last point with you is that the Titans didn't follow protocol. And everybody else is, for the most part, in the NFL, and that's what the other teams are mad at. It's kind of a microcosm of the greater, isn't it? Like, we're all following the rules here. I don't necessarily agree with them. I've said it multiple times, but I'm wearing a mask. I'm social distancing. We've had health and safety officials in here to see what we need to do. So you need to follow the rules, and the Titans didn't. That's kind of the bottom line here that I see.
Yeah, it's cutting the corners, and it's not giving enough credit to the people that have put so much work and research into figuring out what it is that you have to do if you're going to be able to have NFL in this world. These are the things that you have to follow, and it's the kids that don't study and then want to find out the answers in the morning, like, hey, well, can you help me with this, or they cheat or different things like that. And I mean, I'm not trying to be negative to the Tennessee Titans, but you guys kind of ruined the party for a lot of people, because what they did doesn't just affect them. It affects the entire league. It affects all these other teams. And who knows if someone from another team gets it and then is around someone who is immunocompromised, as we've seen in the United States with a wedding that happened in Maine, and that, you know, there was a number of people that were there and then left the wedding, and other people died that weren't at that wedding, right? So that's also something we have to think about. Whether we're rescheduling games and there's a competitive balance that's off is secondary to the fact that health is the number one thing we have to be thinking about, because that's why we're doing all of these things at this moment. So hopefully, if anything comes out of this negative situation, it's that every team and any player out there who was thinking, oh, this is stupid, or, you know, this is a hoax, or I'm not wearing a mask, remembers, okay, you know what, whether I believe in these things or not, I have to do them for this to work.
Wow. You killed it this morning, JSB, or for you afternoon. I appreciate the chat. Congratulations again. There you go. Congratulations again on the award. You know we're following closely, and let's do it again soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Also, I have to shout out my former newscast partner, Kelsey Chadwick from CTV Regina, says hello.
Oh, so, good. She's the
best. Regina connection still strong. Thank you, guys.
All fun. All right. One. Thanks, JSB. Those two sticks of dynamite right there, Kelsey and Julie. Last time we were all together was at Staples Center in LA. Good times. Your Titans are getting trounced, by the way, in the court of public opinion.
That's okay. We've always been the underdog. We'll survive. We'll persevere.
Will you?
And you know what? You know, the more I think about it, and I'm trying to, it's hard, right? I kind of have to put the disclaimer at the bottom of any tweet or comment, right, that I am a Titans fan. But I like to try and be objective. Look, there won't be a forfeit of the games. But the more it goes on, I agree. Like, you can't do it, and probably should be stripped a draft pick or some sort of harsh penalty.
Hey, to say they can't do it, I would hold on to your bingo cards, partner. They can do whatever they want, and it may happen. By the way, more hate mails come in, and I'm wondering, should I read it later on?
Ooh,
here in hour one. Should I? I think people have been enjoying me reading it. Yeah, yeah, Judah says. Our live studio audience says yes, he wants to read me to read one of the hate mail letters that have come into the program. I'm thinking that I will. Sports update coming up. It's the RP Show you're watching across North America on Game Plus TV Network. Also on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Head to youtube.com/The Rod Peterson Show now. You gotta subscribe. Click the subscribe button for all the content you may have missed. Did you know you can catch all the best moments from the show on all our social media platforms? Now back to the studio with Rod.
Wild. First time ever, producer Clark just told us to settle down before we went to air.
The hound in the cage.
The hound
yelling.
He's telling us what to do, the producer. Yeah, everybody seems to want me to read the hate mail that we got, so I'm going to do that. Except for Monty in Saskatoon, and because he doesn't want us to, that means that we will. Sports update. The Associated Press reports that the Tennessee Titans have had another positive test result, raising their outbreak to 23 cases. The Titans facility remains closed and the team remains prohibited from any in-person activities, putting Sunday's game with the undefeated Buffalo Bills at risk of being postponed or even forfeited by Tennessee. Darren just hung his head and pounded his microphone with his forehead. Why? Because you're embarrassed for your team? Or do you feel they're being unfairly
tough
maligned?
Tough times. We'll be all right. Keep your chin up.
You're supporting them, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, of course.
The San Diego Padres fell into a 2-0 deficit in their best-of-five National League Division Series when Eric Hosmer stranded the bases loaded with a game-ending groundout off Joe Kelly in a 6-5 loss to the L.A. Dodgers. Corey Seager delivered three hits for L.A., including a two-run double in the third to put the Dodgers ahead to stay. Randy Arozarena homered for the Rays. And for the third straight game, who beat the Yankees 8-4 to move within one victory of reaching the AL Championship Series for the first time in 12 years. He's the third rookie in Major League Baseball history to hit a homer in three straight games. The Rays take a 2-1 series lead. And the reason I said I want to see a Astros-Dodgers World Series was this Joe Kelly thing. Remember, he was suspended earlier in the year for throwing at the Astros? Wouldn't it make a great story? And the Columbus Blue Jackets have inked center Max Domi to a $10.6 million two-year deal after acquiring him in a third-round pick from the Canadiens for winger Josh Anderson in the only trade of established NHL players made on the first day of the draft. Earlier on in this hour, Joey Alferi joined us from TSN 690 Montreal and explained that Domi and Claude Julien just didn't get along. They didn't see eye to eye, and that's why he was shipped out of Montreal. Rich Sutter of the Blue Jackets will be with us an hour or two to talk about this and other things. This sports update for Ballers Rec Room, where we split our games last night in the Great Western Slow Pitch League. I contributed nothing to the cause. I was very disappointed in myself last night.
It's all right.
And I lost little sleep over it. Yeah. Ballers Rec Room, we are now booking company Christmas parties. We can handle all your food and fun needs. Visit ballersrecroom.com. And for Red Bull Canada, Red Bull gives you wings. Okay. I'm just reading what people have to say about us today and just wondering what they feel about the hate mail. Stephen in Prince Albert says, hate mail is how you know you've truly made it. You're in their heads, Roddy. I guess so. I don't know. But one of the guys that wrote me yesterday said your success has gone to your head. And I thanked him because I said I didn't realize I was having success. So thank you. What?
No, keep going.
Should I get to the letter now or wait till viewer takeover to read the hate mail?
Yeah. You got to keep him on the hook here for a
That's right.
Bit.
I tell you what. Do you know how you keep a monkey in suspense? I'll tell you next segment.
I like it.
Da-dun-dun. Viewer takeover, we will read the hate mail. Hopefully, we can make it a daily segment here on the Rod Peterson Show. But I just want to talk a little bit more about the Tennessee Titans. I'm a little disappointed in you because you seem very very inclusive, very follow the rules, you know, all that, law of attraction. And here's your Titans breaking the rules, and the rest of the NFL's mad at them, and you're defending them. That's what I'm getting from you.
I do. You kind of nailed it. But I also am, you do what it takes to get the job done as well, right? and the team's going to prepare, and they're going to have off-field workouts. And again, nobody really had an issue with Tom Brady going out and organizing workouts in Tampa, in Florida, in the hottest COVID
spot in the world. So if every NFL team went and jumped off a bridge, should the Titans?
No, it's not.
Other teams are doing it, so why can't we do it?
It's not. That's not the point. The point is nobody had a problem with them doing it. It's not they did it so we can do it. It's nobody had a problem with them doing it against doctor's orders, against the NFLPA. But I get it. You're in season, and now there's an outbreak, and that's the reason why you've been shut down. So, you know, it's a really tough spot because these are players. You'd rather we've talked about this before. You'd rather be pulling somebody on the leash to get them to slow down than have to stick a cattle prod, you know, up the backside to get them going. Right? At least the players are passionate about it. They want it, like, they want to play, right? They're not just sitting back being complacent. So that I like. But at the same time, the cases are getting worse. They should be sitting down and not playing. That part's really tough. So I say there needs to be some sort of punishment for sure. Set the standard.
But not forfeit again.
For the rest of the league. But I just don't think you're starting to compare this to all the worst things in the world. That's what the USA Today article did, right? They talked about Michael Vick abusing dogs, and this is worse. They went out and practiced. This is worse than
they endangered people's lives, Darren.
Right? But
you're okay with it because it's your team.
They endangered each other's lives, too. And they were okay with it.
You understand what I'm doing here, right?
Of course, I know what you're doing.
I'm like in the Westerns. Pow, 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 dance, dance. Pow, 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 right at your feet. I don't really care what the Tennessee Titans do. But I'll say this. I was thinking about this morning. I've worked with young men my whole life. They have a tough time following the rules. And guess what? I was one. So I had a tough time following the rules. I get it. The coaches, though, should know better. Do you think Mike Vrabel was behind the unsanctioned illegal workout? Do you think?
I doubt it. I'm sure there was...
I was born at night, Darren.
I'm sure there was that...
Not last night.
I'm sure there was that conversation of, guys, we have to take this seriously.
And then he was behind it.
There was no coaches on the field. It's tough. It's really tough. Probably should lose a draft.
Brady's didn't have coaches.
No.
In Tampa Bay.
But Brady is like a coach. They should probably be penalized, you know, lose a draft pick, maybe even a first-round draft pick, something significant, and send that message to the rest of the league.
We are going to take a break and be back with the viewer takeover and hate mail. Stick around. It's the RP Show. You're watching live on Game Plus TV Network, Facebook Live, and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
You got something to say? You want to add to this show?
You can still chime in from wherever you are in the comment section. As a matter of fact, we encourage that.
What are you waiting for? Don't just sit there. Say something. Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It's the viewer takeover segment, and there's a lot of anticipation. I can feel it. A big buildup for the hate mail segment. And in moments, I'm going to read it.
Yeah, and that's just a reminder to submit your reviews on Apple Podcasts, because we will read those again. So subscribe to the podcast on Apple. And
leave us a review.
And leave us a review. And we will read those reviews, good and bad.
Good or bad, we just want a review. If you don't talk about us, that's when we're like the Wicked Witch of the West and Wizard of Oz. I'm melting. If you don't talk about us.
Yes, please.
Good or bad, we'll take it. Contact info was on the screen, Clark tells me. And by the way, on your Titans...
Yeah.
People are writing in and saying NFL radio is saying, we actually have a text here from the 291. DG says, morning, gents. The NFL radio guys in the afternoon earlier this week made a good suggestion. Drop two games off each team's schedule later in the year and give each team a 14-game schedule. Blah, blah, blah. That's not what I was thinking. Apparently, they're saying NFL radio today that they'll be forfeiting the game, the Titans. Problem with that is the Bills won't get paid, but maybe the NFL will remedy that. But anyways, here's the hate mail from today, and maybe we'll make this a daily segment, because gosh knows we've got enough of it. Don Cameron's his name. He writes in, Mr. Peterson, I have followed your programs, articles, etc. for some time and have appreciated them as an entertaining source of information concerning the world of sports. Clearly, your world, the world of sports journalism, has regretfully been adversely affected by the pandemic. My point in writing, however, is to express my growing concern at your practice of using your media platform to advance your political views. Your latest remarks about Tucker Carlson are the latest example of this tendency. I have no problem understanding you, like many of us, hold certain political beliefs. When you inject them into your sports commentaries, however, I find myself focusing on that content, often in a negative and frustrated way, rather than the sports content, which one assumes is the original purpose for which your media activity was designed and approved. Your latest remarks appear to confirm you intend to continue to use your program as a vehicle to proselytize. Can you Google that? In the manner and context described above. Accordingly and regretfully, I will no longer look to your articles as a source of sports information. And to that I say, bye-bye, Don. Bye-bye. We don't need you. And if that's your feelings, we don't want you. And that was the Cat Country commentary that he was referring to. It's the Rod Peterson commentary. When I was hired to do it, they said, you talk about whatever the hell you want. News, ag, sports. What does it say on the closet front here? What does it say on the grid of the TV? The Rod Peterson Show. It doesn't say the sports show.
Right.
There you go. It's the Rod Peterson Show. It's whatever the hell I want it to be. And by the way, my wheelhouse is Canadian Football League, National Hockey League, Major Junior, Junior A Hockey. That's my wheelhouse of topics. Lacrosse I'm really into. If you haven't noticed, Don, none of them are playing! So I'm going to talk about whatever I want to talk about. Micah Alway, watching in Chicago, Winnipeg Blue Bombers linebacker, says, I'm 99% sure I know what Rod's Halloween costume will be. What will it be? Oh, and by the way, Mandy at Edmonton says that's very polite hate mail. That is the most polite, well-worded piece of hate mail I've ever gotten in my life. Basically, he's saying, I hate what you stand for and what you're saying, and I'm never coming back, but I understand why you're doing it. He was nice about it, but I'm also not going to change.
Yeah, no.
Not a chance. Any thoughts on that?
Proselytize.
What is it?
I'm the word bird over here.
How did you even find it?
I don't know. I just started smashing letters and trying to sound it out, and it worked.
Proselytize.
Convert or attempt to convert someone from one religion, belief, or opinion to another.
Do. I'm not trying to convert anybody. That's the problem with these guys. I'm saying how I feel. Period. And because they don't agree with it, they get all their panties in a bunch. That's the problem. As viewer Brett Upton says, Rod does the talking, we do the watching and listening. Don't like it, don't care. That's the point. I don't like Piers Morgan. Discovered him on America's Got Talent, then he got his own show on CNN. I don't like him, so I don't watch it. So I will implore you, Don, or any of these other people that don't like what's coming out of my mouth or what's coming out of my fingers, don't read it and don't watch. Goodbye. Click. To the other texters, Bob from Grand Prairie writes in, the other top five teams in on free agency in the NHL are Nashville and Columbus, Rod. That's from Bob in Grand Prairie, way back to the start of what we were talking about. So now I can't remember what the first three I said were. Vegas, Winnipeg, he said Columbus, Nashville, and I can't remember the fifth. From Metal Shingle Guy writes in, says, looked like Gilmore was searching out Mahomes. Maybe he was on a mission from Belichick. That's after the game. Looked like he wanted to kiss him. I read that story today. Apparently, Stephon Gilmore, the Patriots, who's now tested positive for coronavirus, was right up in the face of Mahomes. I didn't see it at the end of the game. I didn't see one snap of the game.
No, I've seen the pictures and the video, though, and he gets right in there. And, you know, now it goes back to, at what point did you think you might have symptoms? And were you supposed to be, you know, are you acting carelessly? And how do you start really bringing the hammer down on everybody? It's crazy.
We're out of time for this hour. We'll keep the party going in hour two with Rich Sutter. For the rest of you, we'll see you tomorrow for Football Friday right here on Game Plus, 10 a.m. Mountain. So I punched him.
Of course you did.
For more Rod Peterson On Demand, visit rodpeterson.com.